At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast, Kevin and Chuck. All right, we're going to talk a little bit about the CBs. Definitely, I think, you know, it's the Basic Badass Podcast, and I got to say, the CBs kind of fit into that badass category. You know, we fight, we build, right? I mean, what else is there? We build and we fight, which is it, Kevin?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
We build and we fight.
Build and we fight.
That's it.
All right. So here's the thing. Well, I don't know if you guys, if you've been listening a long time, you already know this, but me and Kevin were both in the Navy. And I know when I picked out my stuff, I was a young married guy. And I had a kid pretty early on. And so I in my mind, I wanted to be, I want to do EOD or a SEAL or something badass and go have a lifetime of kicking ass. But ingrained in me somewhere, I felt like I had to have a sense of responsibility to provide, you know, provide for my family. Maybe it's a
right.
Part of the German upbringing or, you know, whatever it is, I don't know, but I just felt like if I just do something, it's kind of, I know it sounds crazy, but it's selfish to my family. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm cheating my family of what I owed them. If I go do something like that, like, you know, everybody wants to be a firefighter or go join the FBI or whatever, but you know, something cool, you know, I mean, maybe it's not the FBI, maybe the government bothers you too much and I know they're painted in a little bit of an ugly light these days. You know, Trump calls them bad things or whatever. I don't know. Basically, everybody in government calls the FBI bad things. Depends, you know, what their ruling is that day. You know, they're always taking sides, even though the sides might be opposite every other week. You know how it is.
Right.
So anyway, I felt like I had to choose a career that would kind of get me paid in the long run, you know, where I'd be able to take care of my family and be a provider later. And so I was a electronic technician. I fixed like radios, radars, that kind of stuff. And to me, it was something that was going to get me paid and at least a job and a career path. I wasn't really down for sitting down for college and that kind of thing. Although I kind of got blindsided with that one because apparently the Navy sent me to school for forever and it just felt like college anyway, you know? But anyway, this is, I think, what got me thinking too about the Seabees is they really have opportunities. And these guys are badass, all right? So the Seabees fall into a bunch of different, what is it, 7, 8 rates? I think it's 8 different rates.
Yeah.
You can be a builder. This guy's like a straight construction guy. And like, by the time you get to a builder first class, you're basically like a construction supervisor. You know, you're able to go out and get paid, and you sure as hell should be able to build a house. You know, at the end of it, Kevin, do you think, I mean, are these skills, are they going to be able to follow codes and like, that's going to pay off in the outside world when you're a builder in the CBs?
Yeah, I think really what the benefit of the CBs is that, you know, it's always pushed that it's a can-do attitude. You know what I mean? It's regardless of what's going on, you're going to complete your task ahead of schedule.
Nice.
You know, and I think that's in big demand with people doing construction. I can't tell you how many shit jobs I've been on where, you know, they bid a certain price and get in with the low bid and then, you know, then start stacking up money on top of that. Oh, we got to do this too. We got to do this too. And a job runs over, nothing gets done right.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's dragging ass, and that's not the type of mentality you go into when you're coming out of the CBs. I was stationed with a CB unit down in Little Creek, Amphibious Construction Battalion 2. Now that was basically landing crafts on the beach, you know, landing barges on the beach and then driving equipment off and transferring they would sink big fuel bladders out in the water off the beach and run a hose up and pump it into, and you know, pump it into vehicles. So that way that the fuel tank couldn't be damaged, you know, because it was underwater. And everything would just be pumped up onto the beach to you know, fuel everything, whether it's diesel, jet fuel, gasoline. And, you know, basically the whole idea of what I liked about being with the CB unit is the whole idea was that no matter how difficult it is, you get it done ahead of time, not, you know, whatever. Even if it's impossible, it might just take a little bit longer. That's what they'd say, you know. Whatever it was, it would get done, and it'd get done fast. Now, there's a lot of I think there's 7 ratings here. So there's a construction electrician, construction mechanic, engineer aide, equipment operator, steel worker, and utilities man. Now, a lot of that stuff really has to do with getting the hot water going. You know, getting people access to showers, getting people access to clean drinking water, you know, setting up kitchens and setting them up field hospitals and things like that, getting the projects together. Now, the CBs were founded in 1942, and a lot of the original guys that were in the CB units were not actually military guys. They were actually construction workers that were sent overseas. And most of it was in the Pacific theater, but there were CBs in Normandy and things like that. Now, most of them are establishing beachheads, so it's not, you know, in depth fighting. But in the Pacific, a lot of that was just, you know, it was all beachhead, it was all islands, it was all, you know, small little areas that you'd go in, and a lot of it was paving, building runways, building roads for transportation. And what they found was a lot of these construction workers were getting shot at and killed. So they initially started by just arming them, you know, by just giving them weapons. And then they introduced that, you know, then they turned it into an actual Navy battalion, Navy rating.
Yeah, that seems to be a theme with the military is like, oh, let's just give them guns and then it'll be fine. Because, I mean, if they have guns, come on.
Right. Right. But these guys were construction workers. Yeah. And they were burly, mean.
Since we're not going to train them how to use the guns, we'll just tell them don't put any bullets in it. But if they have guns, mm-hmm. then they're going to be safer.
Then it's good. Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of these guys were mean, burly guys. And you don't have a tank, but maybe you have a bulldozer and that just works that way, you know? I know there's a John Wayne movie. I haven't seen it in a long time. I think it was The Fighting Seabees is the name of the movie from like the maybe 1965 or something like that. black and white, and it was a terrible movie, just awful, you know. But what I would find a lot is with the Seabees, they would be working with special forces in advanced areas. You know what I mean? It's not, you know, they're not like way behind the front lines. They're ahead of the front lines, you know, moving equipment forward and, you know, repairing roads, repairing railroad tracks and that sort of stuff and getting things, you know, moving to make a spearhead into enemy lines. So a lot of the time it would be an active combat zone while they're building and defending the equipment or defending the structures they're building and the, you know, the roads and that sort of stuff. So it was definitely an interesting thing. I know when I was in the Seabees, we spent a lot of time, training with, you know, defending convoys and, that sort of stuff. I know the equipment operators were, you know, those were some legit guys whenever I worked with them. They knew their stuff and they, you know, there were some ballsy motherfuckers, you know, they had no problem risking very expensive equipment just to see if it could drive through 4 feet of water or not, you know, reckless a little bit.
The thing is, you know, you have your own mechanic on staff. So
that's right. And you can tow it out. You just pull it back out. You hook a cable on it and yank it out.
There's always another bigger vehicle to grab it, you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
I was actually watching some of the videos on CB attachments and stuff, and that was like the first thing that struck me was, damn, they have some awesome fucking vehicles. Everywhere I looked, I'm like, that thing's badass. Look where that could go. Holy shit, you know? They have some cool shit.
Yeah, so there's one story about a guy named Marvin Shields. He was I believe he was an equipment operator, and they're building a runway in Dongzhou, which was 50 miles north of Saigon during Vietnam, 1965. So they were out at this advanced base here. There are 11 Green Berets there of Special Attachment A-342 and 400 local fighters there. And they came under attack from about 2,000 Viet Cong. They fired about 400 mortar rounds into the base, the military base there. And Shields was wounded. So they started returning fire, and Marvin Shields was moving, you know, ammo and stuff forward and firing at the enemy and got shot in the face, a second wound, which, I mean, I've never been shot in the face. It sounds unpleasant, but, you know, he just kept working on it. And the Viet Cong ended up setting up a machine gun nest up above where the Green Berets were. And Second Lieutenant Charles Quincy Williams asked for a volunteer, and Shields volunteered to go up there. And what they did was they loaded up rocket launchers and were able to get around the nest and blow it up. But on their way back, Shields got shot through the legs, both legs. One bullet went through both legs. So they drug him back, and, he didn't make it. He didn't make it when they, you know, of all the people that were there, only 15 people survived. And only one of the 15 people wasn't wounded, but he got the Medal of Honor for conspicuous bravery and going above and beyond the call of duty. And, I think a lot of the guys that I worked with in the CB units were, I don't want to say crazy, but they were a little bit crazy. You know what I mean? They're a little bit, they'd go a little bit further, you know. Concussion was like just a minor thing you brush off, you know? I saw guys with broken jaws and, like, you know, just from being reckless and doing crazy shit, which I really like those types of people. I like people that are reckless and do dangerous stuff. And that's really what those guys really were. To me, they were just people that were, no matter what happened, you were getting the job done. You know, that was what you were doing. That was your mission, and you accomplished it no matter what. And, that's an important aspect, I think, of anybody that's in the military.
Right. That whole work hard, play hard kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like I seem to remember some shenanigans. I was in Panama, and there was military housing kind of, and I seem to remember just crazy stories. You know, they would they I remember guys freaking throwing concussion grenades into the base housing, because you know, let's see what happens. Turns out those concrete buildings, just every window just goes out. And we come over and we're like, what the hell did you guys do? Well, you know, that we just wanted to see what would happen, and it would be funny. And but again, I think these were the same
Yeah,
guys that were
it probably
like
was funny.
knocking over pizza guys on scooters just because, hey, let's see what happens, you know? And I'm like, but you're kind of an
And free
asshole on
pizza.
this one, you know? It's,
Yeah.
but whatever, to each their own, right? No, that's it. They the Seabees, you know, just really are that. The cool thing now is, you know, you're awesome in wartime, you're awesome in peacetime because they're out doing humanitarian stuff. I believe, you know, I was watching videos. They're showing them do stuff back here in the States, helping people out, you know, bringing relief to different areas, which I don't know how that conflicts with, you know, things that the military is allowed to do, but somehow that's what they were doing. They also had in 1955 Operation Deep Freeze up in Antarctica. Is it up or is it down? Which one? I don't even know. It's
Down.
down. Okay.
Yeah, that's the south. Yep.
No penguins in the south, or is it the other way?
Penguins, no polar bears.
Oh, no
Yeah.
bears. That's right.
Penguins down south, polar bears up
And
north.
right, that's the one. See, this is what you bring to the show. This is why I So anyway, I believe they built a 200 Seabees built a 6,000-foot ice runway. And then like I think they actually had to build it twice. Like they built it and then all of a sudden it got destroyed or messed up and then they had to start over. You know, like Shamu came busting up through the middle of it or something. I don't really know what happened.
Yep, that happens.
But, you know, that's it. It's you say fuck and then you move on and you do the next, you know, the next thing. And that's kind of the whole thing though, is people, employers who've been in the military or know military people love to hire, you know, veterans. I actually got my job because I went to a military headhunter where they will only find jobs for military people because employers are, you know, there's a group of employers out there who are looking for people who, you know, hey, how many days did you call in sick when you were in the military? Right? Like
Right.
zero.
None.
I'm
Yeah.
guessing, you know, it
Zero.
doesn't happen. So if an employer can look for that kind of thing, it really, you know, sets you apart. You know, you're the guy who, you know what, I gotta get it done or people die. You know, that's a different kind of mindset. And honestly, a lot of the times the training kind of reflects it. Now, you may not, the government doesn't always provide you with the best schools, although I felt like I did have really good schools in the Navy. But what I find is the people find a way to, you know, those who know teach the other ones, and you find a way to get the information out there because when lives are at stake, people, you know, find a way to get it done. And that's one of the biggest things. You know, it's funny, early on in my working career when I was about 19, I kept calling my boss and I'd be like, you know, I don't know what to do here. I don't know, whatever. And he's like, well, I've never had this problem before, but what do you think? You know? And I'm like, well, I don't know what's right, and you know, I don't know. And he's like, look, just ask yourself, you know, what would I do? And freaking, you know, and do it your own damn self, you know? But that's kind of
Right.
that attitude that you get in the military, you know, where, all right, what do I need to solve this problem? You know, what, you know, we'll say, all right, this radio doesn't work. Okay, well, to make the radio work, what do I need? Well, I need 5 volts here. I need 24 volts here. And I need a 5 megahertz signal here and, you know, different things. I need an antenna. I need whatever. So start checking things. All right. Which one don't you have? Well, what makes that happen? You know, it's that whole approach of how to solve a problem. You know, they always, you know, it's that whole, you know, you get people who, the guys I work with now, they're like, we're like, oh, you know, you couldn't troubleshoot your way out of a wet paper bag. You know, it's just, you got to find a way to think outside the box and get shit done. And I think the military really brings that. And I think the CBs are like the epitome of that. You know, they really are guys who find a way to get it done. And that's just something that sets it apart.
One thing I noticed when I was in the CBs is they had a knack for acquiring things, acquiring the equipment that they need. Some people might call that stealing. You know, whatever, that's splitting hairs. You know what I mean? But you acquire what you need and you get the job done. Whether it's to the detriment of everybody around you, you know, what you have to do gets done, regardless of what it takes. And I thought that that was a great great attitude that I've kind of taken with me, you know, to the rest of my life.
Is that where all my stuff is going?
You know, it is what it is. You get it done.
Kevin finds
that's
a way
why
to
you don't have anything,
by going in my
it's truck. All my basement.
Yeah, and it's in your basement?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds right. It's funny, my employer... I'm in maintenance for a big company and they have all these we get when you get there, they're like, oh, we're going to buy this giant toolbox and we're going to fill it up with all the tools and make it, you know, everything you want it to be. So great. We all have these giant, you know, 6 foot long toolboxes that are, you know, 4 feet high and 2 feet wide. So first we all had them in this designated area. And then they're like, all right, you know what? We don't like that. You need to shrink that area because we need storage space. So they cut it down and we're all like 8 inches off the next toolbox. You got to kind of push them around to get tools out. And it's ridiculous. I mean, we have a tool bag that, you know, we take with us that's more your day to day. These are kind of the, all right, I need something bigger, you know, to handle a job.
Mm-hmm.
But, so then they were like, all right, we don't want your stuff here anymore. You need to move to way over on the other side of the plant and put all your stuff there. And we're like, all right. So they move them all there. And it's like a month process, right? Getting everybody to do it and find the time and find the space, whatever. We move all these toolboxes. And then yesterday we get an email. You can no longer keep your toolboxes here. Now, mind you, it's only been like 2 months since we just moved them to the new area they picked because we decided we needed this space also. So you need to find somewhere. Now, we're talking about 50 toolboxes. Mm-hmm. You guys need to find somewhere to keep your toolbox, and it can't be on any of the production lines. And we're like... Okay. And they're, you know, and we're like, yeah, that's not anywhere at all. So I sent back in the email. I'm like, look, I'm willing to take my toolbox home. I'll keep it at my house. And if I decide I'm going to need a tool that day, I'll bring it in to work with me. And so we'll see how that works out. But to be honest, dude, I think they might go for it. That's how messed up the whole thing is. I think they're going to be like, well, you know, that's a good idea. Because they actually proposed, if you can't find it, it's one of these, you just figure it out. I don't want to know about it. You know, that's kind of the attitude
this is your
of the
problem.
World anymore. And they were like, and what they do is they turn it into something ugly for you if you don't solve it. But it's all the whole wink and a nod thing, you know. So they're like, well, if you guys can't figure out how to make 50 toolboxes disappear, then we're going to cut it down to 2 and have like an electrician and a mechanic toolbox and everybody can share it. And you know, anybody who's worked in a shop, have you ever wondered why when you go to the car garage, they all have their own separate toolbox. Like when you go to the shop and you're like, that's weird. Yeah. And you know, you see employers are like, must have your own tools. There's a reason for that. Because if you share a toolbox with another guy, let alone 50 other guys, it turns out the tools aren't always there when you go back. But so I also don't know if we cut down the two toolboxes, what happens to the rest of them? And then they sent us a letter. If you leave your toolbox in an unapproved area, we're going to auction it off. And if it doesn't have keys to open it up, we're going to auction it off with tools in it. And I'm like, shit, I might want to bid on my toolbox.
Yeah.
Like, this sounds like a great idea. And I'm like,
you won't even have to drill out the lock.
Yeah. I think I might be taking the toolbox home is all I'm saying. But I did put in a request that I'm going to need a new, nicer toolbox if we're going to move forward like this. So I think they'll approve that because that's how we do things.
So overall, you know, I think that that's if you're looking to join the military, the CBs definitely would be a great option. You know, as far as ratings that you have when you get out, I've worked a lot in construction and I'm pretty good at it and I like doing it and I like the people involved with it for the most part. And, you know, it's not a bad idea to know how to weld, you know, to know how to operate backhoes and bulldozers. It's not a bad idea to have these skills going out into the world, especially when you're getting out of the military and you're, you know, 20, 25 years old or something like that. You're still a young guy. But, you know, employers really do look for that sort of attitude. They look for that sort of know-how and that ability to get things done regardless of the obstacles that you come up against.
That's it. I mean, that's the biggest thing of coming out of the military is, you know, most people, obviously it's a mix, you know, it's not, you know, everybody doesn't end up taking away, they don't learn all the lessons available to them, but it's that can-do attitude. You know, it's that I get shit done. I know how to make things happen that employers who know what they're looking for, you know, get pretty excited about. What you got?
Now, we were talking a little bit earlier about Biden's new plan to solve the gun crisis in the United States.
I'm excited.
The quote unquote crisis that we're dealing with. Now, I know that, you know, that whatever, hundreds of people die every year.
Oh, you mean in Chicago? You're talking
and whatever, dude. You know, I mean, 141 people on average die every day in car accidents, and nobody says a fucking thing about it. You know, that's what lets you know that this is a political issue, not an actual concern about saving people's lives. You know, if they're really worried about saving people's lives, they'd, you know, focus on vehicles, not on guns. But whatever, dude. You know, it's sad when one person ends up killing, you know, 10 other people.
It's fucked up.
And it's sad when it's based on, like, nonsense that's, you know, racist bullshit. I know that guy in where was it?
Up in New York?
That guy that shot up the Taiwanese church.
He
was Chinese and was upset about Taiwan and went and wanted to kill a bunch of Taiwanese people for whatever reason. I don't understand any of that sort of nonsense. But he really threw off the whole demographics because he was like 68-year-old Chinese man. And I don't understand. That's not really the typical shooter.
No, it's but I guess he was upset an angry about politics. White kid with mental issues.
Yeah, that's generally what it is. But, you know, I mean, if you're going to solve that, there's no reason to look at mental health. It's really more important to just take away the tools that somebody would use, whether legally or illegally. You know, whatever. Guns kill people. People don't kill people, I guess. And that's how you solve that problem. But now it's so they're trying to push through some really gross laws, which, to me, I mean, I feel like the Constitution specifically says the federal government can't be involved in making gun laws, but I guess I don't understand the Constitution. I've only read it, you know, 20 or 30 times. I don't understand
that's why
how that works.
Yep.
And, you know, I guess Joe Biden understands it better than I do. He has maybe read a different version that I don't know about.
Well, his version, but I know he mentioned that it has the good and plenty clause. So
good and plenty, huh?
Yeah, there's
yeah,
a good and plenty
I've heard
clause.
About this.
Yeah. That's where he gets a lot of his stuff from, is the good and plenty clause. So.
Mm-hmm. So they're talking about making a full registry of who owns firearms in the United States, which is a terrible idea. Get a good list of everybody that is armed in the country, and then when it's time, you can just go around and go to all those addresses. It's going to be real easy. I'm sure all those people are going to answer the door and welcome officers into their house to take their shit. Won't be dangerous for anybody, but I mean, if that's what you want to do,
right.
Yeah, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. The problem is that the secret's out. You know, it's not like you can't build a gun in your basement.
What?
You know, I don't understand it. The technology is not that complicated. You can make your own gunpowder. You can make your own guns. It's not difficult to do. So I don't understand why they think that they can ban things that you can just build in your house with, you know, with some pipe and I mean, whatever, dude. Fuck those guys. Seriously.
There you go. I think we've definitely got to the point where I'm kind of like, well, most of the laws are just whatever the fuck they want, and it's them, and they do what they want to do, and I'm going to do what I got to do. And it's time to start thinking about taking care of your own shit and protecting your family and being responsible for you. Trying to comply with every ridiculous nuance that there is out there in the world. It's kind of impossible. And I think that's one of those things, is when they make so many laws, you know, you end up at the point where it's like, look, man, which ones do you want me to follow? Well, you need to follow the intent. But if I intend to screw with you, then, you know, then I'm going to, you know, nickel and dime it down to whatever I can do to put you out of commission. And that's how
let's be honest, the Supreme Court ruled that an officer cannot search your vehicle over a traffic infraction. So if he pulls you over for speeding, he can't just search your car without any sort of cause. That was ruled by the Supreme Court because it's not possible to obey all the traffic laws. You can't physically obey all the traffic laws at all times. It's just not possible.
I mean,
I'm sorry. I thought this was fucking America. I thought that I was free here, but apparently not. Apparently I gotta like just take it up the ass from whatever politician is feeling whatever way he's feeling that day. You know, I'm sorry you're having your fucking period this week, but I still got my own rights. I still do whatever the fuck I want to do. You know, you're not the boss of me.
Well, that's
I mean, whatever. Yeah. Maybe I don't understand. Don't understand this life
there
anymore.
There you go. That's the thing, is like, oh my God, the little filament in the light bulb on your license plate went out while you were driving, or God forbid it went out a week ago and you didn't notice because you don't go check your license plate light every time you get in the vehicle, because it, God forbid, may have been daylight when you started driving and now it's dusk. And
yeah, I got pulled over 3 months ago by the state troopers. It was about 2 a.m. and that's why they pulled me over. I was actually working, but they pulled me over because it was 2 a.m. and exactly that, my license plate light was out. And state trooper came up to me. I rolled down the window, gave him license registration. And motherfucker said, I smell alcohol. Bitch, you smell alcohol because it's 2 a.m. and you're hoping that I'm drunk so you can get a good ticket out. I haven't had anything to drink for a fucking week. And you want to fuck with me? I'm working. You know what I mean? I can't even do my job because I got to deal with your bullshit now. You know, and so fucking an hour after I get pulled over, I'm finally able to leave after wasting all that fucking time. Meanwhile, I got an emergency going on, you know, another town over, and I'm dealing with your bullshit over nothing, over a or a fucking license plate.
Turns out you weren't driving at 2 in the morning just for fun. You actually had a reason. Who knew?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. I had to get to someplace, and they had to make sure that I couldn't get to someplace on time because of nothing. They just wanted to keep me there and hope they could find something, something that was actually illegal. Because having your license plate light out is not technically illegal. It just, you have to get it fixed. So they give you a ticket, you get it fixed, and then you, you know, show that it's fixed, and then they, it's no ticket. It's not actually against the law. It's against the law to not fix it. So, you know, whatever. But I mean, you know, just aggravating shit.
I had a buddy of mine at work actually got pulled over, and same thing, license plate out. And it's funny because the light was out, and I've actually gotten pulled over for that here in the recent. Seems like their go-to. Like, the guy pulls me over, oh, your license plate light's out. But he's like, he can see I'm like in my work uniform and whatever. And he's like, oh, you're coming from work. And like it. My employer is a big employer. I think like 2,500 people or something work in the plant. It's a big deal in the area. And, you know, so they know like our shifts and our schedule, because, you know, when 400 or 500 people are getting off at work all at the same time, you're bound to run into that, right? And I get off and I'm heading home, and the guy pulls me over and he sees my work outfit there, and he's like, oh, you're coming from work. All right, I pulled you over for your license plate light, but you can go. And I'm like, yeah. And then I check when I get home, and it's fine. And then it's funny. So I was talking to another coworker, and he's like, yeah, I got pulled over the other day. And I'm like, all right. He's like, yeah, they said my license plate light was out. But it was weird because I got home, and it was working just fine. So I can't figure it out. I'm like, yeah, I can figure it out.
Yeah, they pulled you over for fun to see if there was something they could fuck with you over, but
so, but this kid, like, yeah, it was a girl cop and she frisked me. It was great. And I was like, yeah. I was like, dude, you're an idiot. He's like, yeah, she pulled me over, and I was like, yeah, I have a concealed carry, because where we are, you're required to tell them when they pull you over that you have a concealed carry. And he's like, yeah, I have a concealed carry. And he tells her about it, tells her where it is. And it's not like in his pocket or anything. And she makes him get out so right. She can frisk him so she can feel safe. But he's like, I already told you I have a gun. Yeah, I told you where it is.
Why would you have the fucking license? Yeah, why would you tell somebody if you were intending on doing something shitty?
It's just the stupidest thing. You know, anytime I've been pulled over and I've told a cop that I have a concealed carry, they're like, yeah, whatever, I don't care. And I'm like, well, it's the fucking law that I tell you, so that's why I tell you. I didn't come up with the law. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, whatever.
Right.
You know, I don't care. I'm like, well, that's great, but... Yeah, because I look old and tired and slow. That's why. They're like, yeah, that guy can't fucking do shit. He can't fucking move. He looks like he hurts. I don't know.
Yeah.
But bottom line, CB's badass. Like I said, it really is a thing where you get that can-do attitude, and that's what people are looking for. And I'm just saying, if you're going to commit a life to, you know, now if you're going to be a lifer in the military, then I think maybe the SEALs and EOD or Army Ranger and some kind of badass, that's probably the direction I'd go. But if there's any, you know, if you're just like, hey, I want to do my 4 years or my 6 years and you know, just right, kind of do some
GI Bill or whatever,
find a skill that, you know, is going to really take you somewhere and help you kick ass in the future. And it turns out, although you are doing a service and helping people in the military and it's good, you can do help people and be good by doing other things in the civilian world too. So taking those skills and being able to apply it in the rest of the world while at the same time actually getting paid, it's not a horrible thing. So anyway, if you guys have show ideas, things you want to talk about, things you want to yell at Kevin about, tell him about how he's wrong. You can email us at preppingbadass@gmail.com. You want some badass gear, you might go to preppingbadass.com or otherwise, I would say stay safe and have a good week.
The Survival and Basic Badass Podcast is a proud member of the Self Defense Radio Network.
Anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern, presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV.